Thanks for downloading Scott Harrell's podcast. These discussions come from his radio show on sosradio.net. It's a Christian radio station you can plug in with for music or conversation.
It's just what God has done in my heart, what God has done in me, who I was, 10, 15, 20, 30 years ago to who I am now through this journey about how God has changed my heart.
Thanks for supporting the podcast.
We want to prepare our kids to navigate their faith in the challenging world we live in, but it's so tough. I'm Scott Harrell on SOS Radio. We're talking with Jay Warner Wallace today. Good morning.
Hey, how are you? Good to be with you.
So you're a professor of apologetics at Biola University. You're a senior fellow at the Colson Center for Christian Worldview. And you just wrote a new book alongside Sean McDowell. It's talking about preparing young Christians for the challenging world we live in. It's called So the Next Generation Will Know. How do we know, Jim?
Well, I'll tell you, this is something that we really have to start off by kind of adopting. Do we care enough to help young Christians? I mean, I think a lot of us, my kids are grown. And so there's a sense in which I'm like, okay, the next generation, Gen Z, this generation that's behind the millennials, between the ages of, say, 3 and 20, are they really my problem? I mean, I've already raised my kids. So do I really even need to pay attention to what's happening to this generation? But it seems to me, if we are a family, that we have to be aware of the fact we have kids in our family, even if they're not your own biological kids. And so we knew that everyone kind of senses it either intuitively or they've got the data. They have a sense that this youngest generation is less committed, probably less likely to identify with the church or identify with Christianity. And so we all sense it. We even have stories in our own families of young people walking away. So I think it's time for us to kind of, as a family, come together and actually address the issue.
What's so interesting is with Gen Z, we think about them as, this lost generation, or they don't care about church. But this generation actually has the potential to change our entire world.
Well, if nothing else, just on the pure demographics. I mean, we had a baby boom, which is why we call that one generation baby boomers, right? But let's face it, that was another baby boom going on right now, because this group is demographically larger than Gen X, than millennials. They're larger than boomers. As boomers are dying in the next 5 years, you're going to see that Gen Z is the largest demographic. And don't think that's lost on folks who are either trying to figure out how to reach them for political reasons or figuring out how to reach them for as a matter of fact, we've done a lot of research on Gen Z to write this book. And there's been some great surveys taken out there, but the vast majority of them are taken by marketers who simply want to know, what is this generation like so we can market to them? And I think if that's the case, that this generation is in the bullseye of culture. They ought to be in the bullseye of the church. We should be making them our first priority.
We're talking to Jay Warner Wallace today at SOS Radio, and he has a new book about preparing young Christians for a challenging world that he wrote with Sean McDowell. It's called So the Next Generation Will Know. And as a parent, it's tough to talk to your kids about faith sometimes, and maybe we just feel like, I'm not even prepared for this. I don't even know how to have the discussions with my kids. It's like sometimes you try to bring something up, and after you go to church, you ask them about youth group, or you ask them about their friends, and they don't really dig in. But what are some of the questions that we can ask our kids to actually bring them into a dialogue?
Well, I think we have to take advantage of the opportunities that slip right by us. I remember when I first became a Christian, I was about 35. And a lot of stuff in my life that I experienced prior to that, I did not pay attention to it or attribute it to God. I just figured, hey, this is just the way the world works. It's chance. It's random chance. It's just accidental stuff that happens to all of us. But as I became a Christian, I realized, there's a lot of stuff that really is probably God working right in front of me, but I haven't been paying attention. Well, I think I became sensitive to those things as I became a Christian. The same thing is true for us as parents, I think. There are opportunities that are right in front of you every day when you're listening to the radio in the car, when you just got done watching a movie together, you've been at a sporting event, you watched a sporting event on TV, you're at dinner. There's all these opportunities, and we find ourselves talking about something. So what we tried to do is to give parents and Christian educators and youth pastors, each one we address specifically in this book, to say, hey, these are the events of your life. We know it's hard. I don't want another book that's going to make me feel, number one, bad for something I haven't done, or number two, overwhelmed by a whole new set of protocols I got to figure out how to get in my life. So we didn't want to write that kind of book. We simply recognized that there are organic opportunities that you're letting slide by because you're not yet sensitive to how you might leverage these for the gospel, help leverage these for the Christian worldview. But you could do that. I'm amazed at how, as families, I have friends who for two generations, they have been the strongest Pittsburgh Steelers fans you are ever going to meet. They can give you a running player history of that team going back three generations. Now, I want you to think about that for a second, okay? That's really interesting to me that we have certain things that we love so much that we are already prepared. It's not like we have to go and study these things. We pick up the little details of these things organically every day, and we put them in our mind, and they're in the back of our brain. So as soon as an opportunity comes up to talk about the Pittsburgh Steelers, we're having these organic conversations about a sports team as though it's important, right? I mean, there are shows on TV in which people sit and talk back and forth about yesterday's activity in the sports world. Look, we have given our headspace to a lot of stuff with passion. Now we're simply asking, is it possible that you could take that same approach with your Christian world? Well, you said, I've got tickets to the game next weekend. Your kids would likely say, oh, this is awesome. We get to go to a game. When's the last time as a family you ever said, oh, this is awesome. We get to go to church. We get to go on this missions trip. We get to go do this for God. We don't say it that way. It's kind of like we have to go to church, but we get to go to the game. Well, I think it's time for us to flip that narrative. And so what we're trying to do in this book is to give you a strategy, several ways to use the organic moments that are already in your life to flip that narrative.
We don't have to be afraid of the hard questions that our kids ask us about God. We don't have to live in fear as we're parenting. I'm Scott on SWS Radio, and we're talking to author J. Warner Wallace. He's also a professor at Biola University. In your book, So the Next Generation Will Know, you outline a whole bunch of different questions that parents can ask to bring their kids into discussions about faith and worldview. And a lot of these questions are really owning the fact that, hey, there's objections to faith, there's objections to science, there's objections to culture, but let's navigate through these things together. Show me what your biggest question is about Christianity. Show me about your biggest doubt or hardest thing for you to believe about what our pastor was talking about this week at church.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, when I was a youth pastor, one of the most effective things we ever did, and I was in charge of junior high through high school. So I had, you know, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. So I had a group that would take all of our junior hires. We would do midweek programs, and we would do weekends. And I will tell you that the thing that was the most popular was simply a question bag that we did for the last half hour. Sometimes you could do the entire Wednesday night. And we would have kids, when they come for a Bible study, we wanted them just to throw their questions in this bag. And eventually, they're anonymous, and we would eventually pull those out and spend the last 30 minutes to an hour just answering the difficult questions that our kids ask. And I think part of the problem is that there's almost a sense of, can I ask this question publicly? How am I going to be seen if I ask this question? Now, as leaders, we are often thinking to ourselves, wow, if they do ask that question, am I prepared to answer it? You know? And I think what this does is it causes us to raise the bar. Remember, this is a generation that were born as digital natives. They don't remember a time when they couldn't fact check, they couldn't research everything in the glowing rectangle at the end of their arm. They can do that now immediately, and they're hearing all the voices of culture. And most of those voices are telling them, you know, our views over here outside the church are substantiated by good scientific evidence. Your views inside the church are simply a matter of blind faith. And I think our students get that. As a matter of fact, when you poll them, they typically will say that that is a rub. I don't know how to reconcile my scientific view of the world with the teaching of the Bible. And so we're going to have to start to get in that conversation. Now, you may feel, if you're leading these kids, like, hey, I don't have those questions. Those aren't important to me, or I'm already over it, or it's been years since I even examined that question. I get it. But you know, if you're raising kids in your biological family, you change everything to tailor to your kids. You go to movies that are more appropriate for your kids than for you. You don't go see R-rated movies with your kids. You see the movies that are good for them. You take the vacations that are good for them. You go to the restaurants that are good for them. For a number of years, you suspend your desires to put their desires first, their well-being first, and so you have to kind of shift your attention toward what they like. Well, this is the same as happening right now as far as the church. We have to say to ourselves, yeah, I get it. That topic doesn't really impress me. I'm not interested in that, but my kids are. And that music, you know, that's not really the kind of music, but my kids are interested in that. Are we willing to leverage the same kind of sacrifice we would make for our biological kids to raise Gen Z in the church? Because that's our church family. And I am absolutely willing to throw it all out to take care of my biological kids, and I'm willing to do the same thing. Whatever I thought my desires were, my preferences were, hey, my kids have to be reached, and they have to be helped to answer these questions. That might mean that I have to learn the answers first, but I'm willing to do that if it'll help my kids.
And Jim, you know, I think one of the best things we have to do is just say, you know what? I don't fully have the answer for you. Give me a couple of days and I'll come back to you. And I want to do a little research because I want to make sure that what I'm saying is fully accurate. I have a hunch of what I want to share, but I want to do a little more research so that we can talk about that with facts. Just give me a couple of days.
Yeah, the way you just put that, how can anyone really say, well, oppose that? That's exactly, let me tell you, we often think that we just have to understand how to answer these claims, and we just need a bunch of truth claims kind of cleverly tucked in our pocket, and whenever somebody asks anything, we just pull them out. But the reality of it is that you are the most influential when you marry your relationship to the truth claim, because all the data that's available online is information without relationship. And sometimes, as parents, we're all relationship without any information. Well, it turns out if we simply leverage the relationships we have, take the time to learn what's out there so we have the information now married to the relationship, you will be far more influential with your kids than whatever website they're reading. They have a sense, I think. And I think every generation feels this way, right? Like if you're over 30, you can't be trusted. If you're over 30, you probably don't know anything about my life. And what do you know about anything? And at some point, especially in the teenage years, that is an attitude we often see. And I actually held it as a teenager myself, right, of the generation above me. So I think that there's important for us to be able to say, no, actually, I've examined that issue. Or like you said, hey, I don't know. I think I have a sense of where I would go with this, but give me a minute. Give me a day. Give me a couple of days. I'm going to come back to that. And then don't disappoint. Don't break that promise. A couple days later, revisit that issue. And I always say that it's tempting just to say, well, I know J. Warner Wallace has written about this in a few books. I'll buy you one of his books. Really? They're not going to read. I don't have that relationship with your kids. You do. So you're going to have to read that book and then translate it for your kids. Communicate it through the conversations you have in relationship with your kids. That's far better. We don't need another million-dollar apologist writing a book. We need a million-$1 apologist, parents who are willing to know enough. And if you think, well, I can't ever learn enough. Well, look, if you're leading your kids and you're 2 miles out in front of them, they will not see when you turn left or right. If you're just a couple of steps in front of them, they can see when you turn. So you don't have to be way out in front of your kids, just a little bit out in front so they can stay with you as you navigate these issues with them.
We work so hard to teach our kids a Christ-centered worldview, and we really break it down into the why and the how. We're talking to J. Warner Wallace today on SWS Radio. A lot of times I hear parents say, oh, you know what? I want to bring my kids to church, but I'm not going to force them. I'm not going to force them to go to youth group because they don't want to go. I don't want to push them away. It seems like a lot of parents are just really too worried about rebellion, and they think that if they take their kids to church and their kids express that they don't want to be there, it's going to force rebellion. But you've done all kinds of research projects and studies, and that's not at all reality.
No, it's not. And I'll tell you what I fear sometimes. I fear that there are a number of parents who might feel that way, where they'll say, hey, they don't want to force this on my kids. At the same time, they also do not have deep or repeating conversations about these issues themselves. So it's not like they're filling the gap of theological knowledge in the minds of their kids that maybe used to be part of their youth group, but hey, we're constantly, no, instead, now no one's talking about God. Now no one is teaching them the things of God or why the Bible is true or what it even teaches. If that's, now it's not happening at all because we don't want to force this on our kids. Really? Well, I don't want to force my kids to go to school either. They don't want to go to school sometimes. I don't want to force that on them. Well, wait a minute. There are some things you know that you would say are in the best interest of your kids, even on the days when your kids don't want to do it. So it's a matter of us deciding what love really looks like. Love doesn't always mean keeping everything peaceful. Love sometimes means doing the hard things and helping your kids see the reason why we do the hard things. But I'll tell you, passion transfers, and so does dispassion. So a lot of times when I'll hear someone say, "Mom, my kids don't seem to care," I'm like, okay, well, look, if we all follow the lead of our lead pastor or our CEO or our family head, are you passionate? Are you passionate about this where you think, hey, I can communicate this because I love talking about this? You're passionate enough about some things to talk about them at dinner, to talk about them while you're on the road, like it says in the Old Testament, right? Speak about these things while you're on the road, while you're in the car, while you're having dinner, while you're at the ball game, while you're watching TV. These are things you could be talking about. My son called me yesterday. He's 28. He's a doctor. He's on the way home from the hospital, just going home, and decided to call me to say hello. And I'll tell you, I found things to talk about. What is it that I find to talk about? What is it that you find to talk about with your kids, even if you haven't talked to them in a while? You're talking about something. So I think it's kind of the overflow of the heart. You know, through the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. whatever it is you're passionate about, your kids, even if they don't adopt your passion, they will always look back at you and say, man, he was passionate about that. So what is it that you're passionate about is a question we really have to ask all of ourselves before we even start to interact with Gen Z.
Well, we're talking to Jay Warner Wallace today at SWS Radio, and he has a new book that he wrote with Sean McDowell. It's called So the Next Generation Will Know, Preparing Young Christians for a Challenging World. Thanks for sharing your wisdom with us today.
Hey, thanks so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
You're clear to go.
Thanks for downloading the SOS Radio podcast. If you enjoy the discussion, give it a 5-star rating in your app store.
The way the technology works, your ratings really help spread the word.